Welcome to Eat, Capture, Share, the podcast for food bloggers and food photographers who want to earn an income doing what they love. My name is Kimberly. I'm your host. Episode 135. Welcome back, everybody, to the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. My name is Kimberly Espinel. I'm a food photographer, food photography teacher. I'm the author of the Amazon bestselling book, Creative Food Photography, and the upcoming How to Make Your Food Famous. I'm also a creative business mentor for food photographers, food bloggers, and food content creators just like you. Today, we're going to be talking about food styling, and we're really going to be looking at it from two angles, as it were. So one is, what if you're a food photographer and you're really at that point in your career where you want to start hiring out and working with a food stylist? What does that entail? How do you find the right person? What does the food stylist even get to do? Like, how does it all work? So that's something we're going to be looking at today in my interview with Alicia. And the other side of it is, what if you're not there yet? What if you're still the food stylist, the prop stylist, and the photographer, and, you know, all that good stuff, right? Like, what if that is still all in your hands? What can you do to up-level your food styling? And again, that's something I'm going to be chatting with Alicia about today. Now, I met Alicia virtually first when she applied very last minute for my foundation course at the very start of the pandemic. And she did the course, and her coursework just really blew me away. And what I do offer is, if you are one of my graduate students, so if you complete either my foundation course or any of my other courses, then you go on to my assistant list. So I don't take on assistants really that haven't done at least one of my courses, because I want to be sure that the people I'm working with, the people I'm bringing into my studio, have a good, solid understanding of all the things that matter to me and have developed a creative eye, understand composition, and so on and so forth. So I knew that obviously Alicia had learned that, but also she completed the course. She did her final project, and I was just really blown away. And so when I was looking for somebody to come and shadow and assist, usually what I do is I send out an email to all the graduates, and then whoever responds first gets the spot. And I think that happened with Alicia. And also, she's fairly local-ish to me. She's in London anyway. And we just really hit it off, and I was very impressed with her work. And I think in terms of aesthetics, we have a similar aesthetic, though different, and they complement each other. And, you know, it's been a love story ever since. And we've done so much work together. And she's one of the 3-4 food stylists I tend to always work with, because we have a nice dynamic and her standard of work is exactly what I'm looking for. So Alicia felt like the right person to tackle this topic of food styling with, just because she's such a great food stylist and she's working in that field and has been for some time now, full time. And then finally, I'd like to say to that also that the idea for this podcast really came from you guys. So a couple of you have DM'd me over the years asking about food styling, asking about, you know, working with a food stylist and so on. So that's really how the idea for today's podcast episode was born. So if you have an idea for upcoming episodes, please do DM or email me at kimberly@thelittleplantation.co.uk. I always, always love hearing from listeners. Now, one more thing before we head into the episode. There are a lot of books, there are a lot of things that we mention in today's podcast episode, and there is a comprehensive list of links in the show notes, which you can either find right here in the app where you're listening to this episode, or if you click through to my website to this particular episode, you'll find a link to that in the show notes too. You'll find all you need there in terms of books, resources, links to Alicia, all that good stuff. So be sure to check that out. I think there are quite a few links here worth looking deeper and further into. And then also for those of you who are considering doing any of my courses, specifically the foundation course, if you head to the show notes, if there is an offer on, and if we have anything there specifically for podcast listeners, you will find a discount code in the show notes. So yeah, be sure to check that out too. Okay, without further ado, here is Alicia. Alicia, I'm really excited to finally have you on the podcast. It feels like, how could I have gone like 4 or 5, I don't even know how many years now with the podcast and not have had you on? It feels like a crime. So I'm really happy to have you. Do you want to start with introductions and just sharing who you are, what you do, and where you're based, anything that you think listeners would be interested to know about you?
Yes, of course. So, hi, my name is Alicia Zironski. I am a food photographer, food stylist, recipe developer, and content creator. And I'm based in London. I'm a mother of two beautiful twin girls and also the founder of Twins in My Kitchen.
Amazing. Alicia, this feels a little awkward, I have to say, to anybody tuning in. I know Alicia so well, but I'm just going to pretend like I don't. But I'd love to know, and actually there's parts of this that I don't know, so I am curious. How did you get started in food photography and how did it all come about?
So I started sharing food photos actually quite a while ago, probably coming up to 10 years now. This was out of passion for cooking and photography. It was just a hobby back then. But then when my girls were born and I started to, you know, cook for them when they started on solids, and then I felt like I had a message, really wanted to share it on Instagram and share my experiences and my knowledge. And this is how, you know, I got to know Luca, and she approached me and we did a book together. So this is how I did my first cookbook, which was published, I think it was just about when the pandemic started. And I did it out of, you know, it was just intuitive styling. I had done no courses, I watched no YouTube video. It was just like self-taught. But then that spring, I signed up for your course. And I think within a day, my eyes were opened to the possibilities of food photography and food styling. I, you know, the light, storytelling, things like this, I didn't really consider that much before. And then the whole summer of the pandemic, of lockdown, actually, I spent the whole summer practicing like 6-8 hours a day until I was hooked. I couldn't stop anymore. And then it became slowly but surely, it became my full-time job. First, with food styling especially, I started first assisting, a lot of assisting with you, which was very, very kind of you to let me look over your shoulder and learn from you. And then as I got more confident, just by myself.
Amazing. So there's lots of things there that I'd like to kind of unpick, as it were, that I think people may be tuning in. I also don't quite know. So you mentioned Luca and you mentioned photographing her cookbook. And I'd love for you to share a little bit more about who Luca is, because people might not know who Luca is, and also how that came about. Because I think a lot of people who are tuning in would love to food style and or photograph a cookbook. So be lovely to hear how that partnership came about, who Luca is, and please, if you can share a little bit more, that'd be amazing.
Yes, so Luca is the founder of Boob to Food. We started a friendship when my girls, I think they were 2 years old, and she had a little one that she just started the weaning, and we just became friends, and she was always jokingly saying, oh, well, I would love for you to be my personal food photographer. We shared the same passion for whole foods, nourishing foods, for certain kind of feeding your child with loads of protein and good fats and things like this. And there was not much out there at that time. And she approached me and asked me if I would photograph a cookbook that she's thinking of writing. I've photographed and I've also developed some recipes with her because she was living in a caravan at that time. And it just took off. And I've also photographed her second cookbook, which is the toddler book. A little bit more knowledge brought into that one. The first one was just really, I don't know. I just, you know, the food styling was always from the very beginning, food styling was something that I was always quite good at. I did a lot of practice in that. But yeah, the photos, the lighting and composition is very different. The second one, but obviously it's also more of a family cookbook, so you can bring more storytelling. Since then, I have actually styled another toddler cookbook with you.
Yeah.
It's even more knowledge into this one. So, you know, it's like you practice over the years and you pick up all these skills and more knowledge.
So I'd love to, you know, disentangle a second thing, because having now taught so many creatives food photography and food styling, what I have really noticed over the years, and this is, you know, my analysis, my thought on it, so it's very subjective, I have to add to that, but I feel for a lot of people getting to grips with food photography, so, you know, how to use your camera and even how to use the light, I think people relatively quickly grasp that once they've done, say, my foundation course, or they've looked at YouTube videos or a combination of both. But food styling does seem to be an area where a lot of creatives struggle quite a bit. And I'd be really curious from your own perspective to, if you've thought about, like, obviously you mentioned it's something that you were quite good at relatively quickly, something that came to you naturally. And I kind of wonder if there's things that you feel that you brought into food photography and food styling that gave you an edge, or something that you have found has helped you fine tune your food styling skills over the years.
Yes. So I think I have, because I have been cooking since a young age, and this is one thing that is, I think, one of the important things to be a good food stylist. You have to be a really good cook, and also quite a versatile cook as well. So not only always the same things or the same cakes or, you know, just things that you like, but also trying and experimenting with tricky foods and different sorts of foods. And I think that really helped. And then also because the edge probably that I have is that I have been a creative my whole life. I've worked in different areas of creative jobs. I was a makeup artist, I was an interior designer, and I have had a lot of experience with color, composition, textures, and things like this that you have to develop an eye for that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come overnight. It just has to really, you have to really practice a lot and just be brave as well with color and with different styles. I think that's probably it.
You know, it's really interesting because you know my son, you know him, and, mm-hmm. you know, a couple of his friends now have older siblings who are just finishing high school and looking at university. And we bumped into one of them the other night when he came home from a supper club. And one of his friend's sisters is thinking about studying art history at university. And I know that when I was in school, if somebody had said to me, oh, I'm going to go to university and study art history at the time, whatever, 25 years ago, I would have poo-pooed that idea.
That's what I studied, by the way.
I didn't know this. But, you know, actually what I was going to say is now, if my son were to come to me and say, I want to study art history, I would be all for it, because I think there's just something that happens to our brain when we do creative things. So I do, you know, I'm not technical necessarily, I'm not the most gifted food photographer, but I think the fact that, like you, I used to dance. That was my thing. I did choreography, did, you know, musical theater. And I think those kind of things, just developing an eye, as you said, just understanding. Because for me, composition comes very easily to me because I look at it the way that I look at a stage and how the dancers are set up and how we choreograph them. You know, like I just think there's so many things that are transferable skills, because what it does, it develops your creative juices and your creative eye. And I wonder if the whole, you know, makeup artist and interior design, if all of those things have helped you, you know, find your feet so much quicker and in such an elevated way in your food styling. Yeah. So I know that's what you said. I just wanted to pull it out again.
It's definitely creativity is, is everywhere.
Yeah.
Then even to be good at maths, I always say to my girls, it's all creative. You have to find creative solutions in a lot of areas of your life. And if the more you practice creativity, the better you are at problem solving. And it's all transferable. As you say, it doesn't matter what you do. So that's why I can pick up things quicker, maybe because done this my whole life in different areas, and it's just, and being versatile and being resourceful.
Yeah,
I think that's a really good quality if you want to work as a creative.
Yeah, and then the second thing you said was the fact that you love food and you've always loved food and you've cooked for a really long time. And I have to say there's like three food stylists that I tend to usually work with if I have a say. It's you, it's Katie, it's Holly. So Holly, she's a trained chef. I wouldn't say chef, but she did like Leith's cookery course, like quite seriously. And then obviously you've been cooking for years, Katie, as well. And I think that really, like, you just have a confidence in the kitchen. And I think that really helps with the food style. But I think the other thing, because the way that I food style, I feel you do the same, is I think about how I want a dish to taste. And I really want a dish to taste multi-dimensional. I want it to have a crunch, a creaminess, to have layers in the flavoring. And so if I think about how I design dishes, in terms of mouthfeel, then I just translate that into my food styling as well. And I think you do that too. You do a lot of flavors, in your day-to-day, because you understand how the flavors combine and how everything sits. And I think if something tastes delicious, usually it also looks delicious. So they're for me, they're really closely connected. I don't know if that makes sense.
Definitely. And the reason we create food photos is to make people want to eat it, whatever we...
Exactly.
And that's definitely texture, color, all of things really help if when you eat it. And so when you see it, it's translates again. Yes, definitely.
I wondered, from both a photographer's perspective and also from a food stylist perspective, what do you think makes a good food stylist? Why do you think I hire you again and again? And why do you think, what is it that you would advise people who are tuning in who want to be food stylists, or at least want to be better food stylists? What kind of skills, apart from obviously styling food beautifully, they should practice and work on?
So the first thing that we've already mentioned is the ability to cook different things and be confident in the kitchen, to be able to handle raw ingredients. That is I think that's the basis thing in food styling. And then we also mentioned, a good eye for color, position, texture, which can also be not learned so much, but practiced, you try to observe things, try to look at colors in nature, and it's not always the obvious thing, that is the answer. Sometimes you have to just look for something a little bit more interesting and a little bit more edgy, and just get confidence like that as well. You get the confidence in the kitchen, you can get confidence with your feeling, with your eye for beauty and for and as well. Then I would say practice skills as well. There's some things that you can learn from assisting or from looking up or going or doing a course, little things like how to make that ooze, how to make that drop, little things that are little tricks that you can pick up along the way as well, that would just make life easier for you. Because not everything has to be just an effortless, beautiful plate of a salad. Sometimes it can be a little bit more technical. And just look into it and find out about all these things as well. That would help. And I think lastly, is also quite important, is to be a good team player. As a food stylist, you work with at least a photographer, but then there could be, up to 10 people in the room trying to create all of this beauty together. And if I think to be a good team player, to listen, to also communicate what you are thinking, to make this whole thing come together nicely and it's such a fun thing to work as a team. So this is something that is also quite helpful, I think. And maybe that's because when we shoot together, we always have so much fun.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
So yeah, that's probably the last thing that I'd say. There's loads of things, but those probably...
That's great. Now, I'm wondering because, you know, there might be somebody tuning in who's like, I'm not a food stylist. I really want to focus on being a food photographer, but I want to start working with a food stylist. So from the food stylist perspective, is there any tips that you can give a photographer to make that working relationship better? Are there any things that I do or any of the other photographers that you've worked with that make your role easier, that make the outcome, you know, achieving a really good outcome better? And any other things that you have encountered that you don't find helpful or that you find kind of obstructs you being able to show up as the best, you know, food stylist that you can. So yeah, any tips around that specifically for food photographers who are looking to work with a food stylist?
Yes. So I think it depends if the food photographer is a strong food stylist as well. That person would be looking for somebody who is at least close to you know, the sort of style that they personally like or do. If the photographer is maybe not such a good food stylist, it's different because then they for somebody who styles in a way that they would like to style maybe. But it's a personal choice of what you like, what appeals to you, and then you have to look at the person's work.
Yeah.
See if this looks like something that you want to photograph, basically, I think. And then once you get together, then you see if you dance together or, you know, like edging around. So it's first you look at the work and then you see if you are on a personal level. If you
yes, I love that. And then let's just say somebody has found a food stylist that they gel with, they like their style. Is there anything that any directions or anything that the food photographer can do in the shoot that make it easier for you to perform well as a food stylist? Like any tips or guidance, because I'm thinking there may be people tuning in who've never worked with a food stylist before, but would love to, you know, take that jump and give that a go. So anything in terms of that working relationship, once that kind of personal connection has been made, but you know, when you're in the actual shoot and it's high pressure and all those things,
yeah,
anything that food photographers can do to kind of maximize having a food stylist there and maximize the output and maximize the quality of the output as well.
Want to know the one thing that completely transformed the quality of my reels? The one thing that allowed each and every one of my short form videos to look professional, despite the fact that I don't use a DSLR camera to create them? That thing is the Arcon Remarkable Creator Pro Mount. It is the sturdiest and the most versatile phone tripod I know, and by far my most used and loved. I have tried and tested countless camera holders, but Arcon's Remarkable Creator Pro Mount is a cut above the rest, allowing for gorgeous overhead, angled, and straight-on captures. It doesn't shake, it doesn't break, and on top of that, fits every and all phone models, so I am sure it will work with your phone too. Plus, each and every product you purchase from Arcon comes with lifetime warranty, offering you complete and total peace of mind when you purchase. If you're a listener in the US, you can order the Arcon Remarkable Creator Pro Mount or any of their other fantastic products specifically designed for creators like you and receive 20% off. Simply use code TLPCREATE to receive 20% off at checkout. You can find the link to the Arcon Remarkable Creator Pro Mount and all their other fantastic products in the show notes. Again, please remember to use code TLPCREATE to get 20% off. I'm obsessed with my Arcon phone stand and I bet you'll be obsessed with yours too. Want to learn food photography but are short on time, don't have any fancy lighting gear, yet still want to create standout images? Then listen up. I'm teaching a complete framework for brand new food photographers who are excited to delve into their creativity, find their own unique food photography style, learn to master the camera, see light and shadow like never before, take their images to the next level through editing, and do that all at their own pace from the comfort of their very own home. Whether you're brand new to food photography or have already been behind the camera for a little while, my brand new revamped Foundation Food Photography and Food Styling online course provides everything you need to start taking exceptionally gorgeous food images that you've always dreamed of. But don't take my word for it. Here's what previous Foundation students have had to say about this online food photography course.
The best lesson that I learned taking Kimberly's Foundation e-course was really learning about light. When I first got into photography, it was something, a concept that felt really elusive and really difficult. It wasn't something that I thought I'd understand. So though I was taking photos, I was just fluking it with the light. I didn't understand how to manipulate it, didn't understand how it impacted my images. But it felt like the penny dropped when I took Kimberly's course.
Well, I started the e-course without a clear idea of not only what I want to shoot, but also how and who for and what's my style really. And I feel the training completely changed my creative process, the way I think about a picture, how I prepare a shoot. Because before I would usually just have a dish in mind or a product and then look on different platforms for inspiration and see what other people were doing. And then I would kind of replicate what I've seen without really asking myself, is this really me? And I wasn't really happy with the results. And Kimberly and her training really helped me.
So could I have done it on my own? I think so, but it would have taken an extremely long time. I think doing Kimberly's course condensed that time, helped it to be focused. And I know that there's no gaps in my knowledge.
I also appreciated the fact that I could go at my own pace. I could take the time to really like follow the lessons, rewatch them if needed over and over again for some of them.
I would say it's worth the investment. Like, don't think twice about doing it. It's honestly one of the best things that I could have done. And it's not because I'm being recorded, but generally for my growth, for my photography, I'm really glad that I took that leap.
If you want to find out more and join the thousands of students who have studied with me and completely transformed their food photography and food styling, be sure to head to the show notes and follow the link to the Foundation course. There you might encounter bonuses and special discounts. So head there today. I cannot wait to hear from you.
Yes, so I think really precise direction and communication, if it helps to know the light, the temperature, what is the outcome? What are we trying to achieve? If you can communicate this really clearly, then the food stylist can then, you know, make it happen. But I think communicating and a mood board, I think, is always a good thing. So you know you are on the same page, you know what you're trying to achieve. So there is no misunderstanding during the shoot, because a lot of shoots are very time pressured.
Yes.
There's a lot to get through. So if you know what you're doing, it can really speed up the process and nice and smooth.
Yeah. I mean, what I would add to that, just because I've worked with, you know, a couple of different food stylists over the years. And for me, what has helped is when I can trust the food stylist that I've hired, because that means that then as a photographer, I can just focus on what I need to do. And, you know, that I have that with you, I have that with Katie, I have that with Holly. You know, there's others as well, but I always, of course, take the shot and double check and then give directions and those kind of things. But really and truly, I just know that you understand my vision, you understand the mood board, you understand where we're heading. And so it gives me peace of mind to focus on what I need to focus on. And so I don't have to like micromanage you or something. I hope I don't, you know.
This leaf of parsley around when you are photographing, you want to concentrate on
exactly.
Yes. So it is good to have that feeling that whatever comes out of the kitchen is going to be ready.
Exactly. Exactly. And then I do think, you know, as we already said, having a really good, you know, trusted relationship with the food stylist, they understand what's in your mind. They understand your vision. They understand your style, the way that you work. And then I do think it helps to work with the same, first of all, to just try a couple of different ones to see, you know, who you gel with most, but then to really consistently work with that food stylist, because I think I feel like with us, for example, that we've really grown together. Like if I look at some of the work that we did together, say 2 years ago, and now, like I feel we've both become better at what we do and better in working harmoniously, if that makes sense. So I think there's something to be said for working with the same team or a similar team over a long period of time. And that really requires that you find the right food stylist who understands you and you can trust them to get on with what they need to get on with. No, I don't know, at least if you wanted to add anything to that.
No, so definitely it takes time. And also what you said, that we've become better, but I think this is as creatives, we always, every day we become better and better at what we do. And if we can do this together as a team, it's even, you know, it's even more magical. Mm-hmm. Also, that is why it's so hard to get into certain things as a food stylist, because if either photographer has found one or two food stylists that you like to work with, or not even photographer, but agencies and companies, it's hard to put in sometimes because they trust this person and they really want to work with anybody else.
That's really it. And because I get a lot of requests for people who want to assist me. And the thing is, I've done that in the past, but I feel I don't want to take those risks anymore because I've had situations where people just haven't performed in the way that I needed to. And then it becomes very, very stressful. And especially if it's a paying client, like then it's just really stressful. And so I like to just find my people and stick with them. And especially as you mentioned as well, like sometimes like we've done shoots where we've had to do like 20 different dishes or 22 different, like sometimes it's so full on and so stressful, I can't take the risk. And so it's nice for a photographer and a food stylist and a food stylist and a photographer to kind of find each other and evolve and grow together.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes we don't have to say sometimes something, and we know we just thought the same thing. So run and get it.
Yeah, exactly. And also the thing is, but I also don't know what it's like to work with me, but I sometimes feel like, not that I have my head down, but you know, I'm very focused. And then, you know, like I know that if I'm kind of not short, but if I'm like, no, let's do it like this, like I know you won't be in tears afterwards, or you know what I mean? Because you know exactly who I am and what I need. And so it's just so much more relaxed because I don't have to pretend. I can just be myself, so to say. And so that makes the whole thing so much easier for me too.
No, but I totally understand, because when you are in work mode, and that's where, again, the confidence in your abilities and confidence in yourself comes in.
Yeah.
You don't feel like, oh, this was like a personal attack.
It's just
work. And it's just sometimes it goes so, so quickly that, the more you do it, the more confident you become also within yourself, and you would never take things like this personally.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Alicia, kind of moving slightly in a, like something more concrete, as it were, like if anyone's tuning in who's like, oh, I really struggle with food styling, I find it so, so hard. If you had three top tips, three things that you feel will really allow them to see an improvement, a shift, three things that you find allowed your food styling to, you know, notch up to the next level, what would those three tips be?
So I have been thinking about this because I knew this was coming.
Okay.
There would be some tips coming. It was quite difficult to pin down to just three tips. Obviously, we have mentioned that you need to play and practice a lot with, also especially with tricky food. So I'm going to leave that out. I think one of the big things that has transformed my food styling was to not overcrowd your plates.
Yeah.
I think everything that you've just done on the plate to show everything, you want to let your food breathe. And it's, I think, to learn how to make it look effortless, not to contrive, not to everything in the same spacing and spaced evenly. you wanted to add a little imperfection, a little crumb here, a little, you wanted to look authentic, organic, and that, again, this will come with more practice, but just letting go a little bit of like of this and rule of that.
Yeah.
Just try to step away from the plate and just look, is it looking effortless? Is it looking obviously some things will require precision work, but that's a different topic. I think adding movement would be my other one. Adding movement to your styling, is it a little garnish in the spiral? Is it a little smear, a drizzle, something that's moved across the plate or across the image? It's always quite nice and I don't know, evocative probably is a word.
I love that word. Nice word.
And then something practical. Use shallow bowls. You always just try to use shallow bowls. You don't want to cook a whole pot of soup just to make two bowls of soup. I sometimes even style a soup on the kind of plate. Mm-hmm. I would even be able to say it's a bowl. But that means, you know, you don't need so much of it because the last thing we want is food waste. You want to make sure everything is eaten afterwards. So this is just very practical. And then the last thing would be get a basic toolkit. You don't need to have, you know, two suitcases full of everything. But I think a basic toolkit with some sharp knives, a mandolin for like really thin slices, a spray bottle with water, but I think, I don't know, probably everybody knows about that. Just spray.
Well, not necessarily, no.
Look a little fresher. You know, you want everything to look fresh. And also, it's probably not a tool, but in a way, for me, it is a tool. It's herbs, garnishes, oil, herbs, micro herbs, sprinkle of pepper, a little drizzle of this and that. Those are, I think, tools. This is like something that I do every time. Yeah. It's in my kit. I have a little olive oil in my kit. I have a little box in my kit, a little coarse salt and, you know, herbs and things like this. That's essential to lift the dish and bring it to life.
I love it. Now, Alicia, we're almost bringing the interview to a close, but I wanted to ask you, you mentioned that you did the foundation course and that was kind of the start of everything. And if there's somebody who's tuning in who's like, I'm not sure if it's worth it, I already know photography, or I don't know, like, is there anything that you could say in terms of what you took away from it? Anything that you would say, oh, if you are here, then it's definitely for you. Or if you're here, then maybe the foundation course isn't for you. So I don't know if anything you can share with the listeners about your experience.
Yes. So the foundation course, as I mentioned already, has really opened my eyes. It was like a light bulb moment. And what it was for me, you can learn, you know, you can learn about aperture and shutter speed and things like this. You don't need to do a course. You can do, watch a little video and then take your camera and try it out. But what you can't really learn so much by yourself, I think, is this, that flow of creative juices from the course. It was such an amazing time. It was bouncing off ideas. And, you know, you can't have a good food photo doesn't just exist of good lighting and, you know, just a black background. And yes, sometimes it can be nice and just like an apple in a nice light. But I think to really fully grasp and understand composition and not just, you know, the rules and this, but just to really see what you can do, what you can achieve with composition, with color, with color theory. Again, there's a color theory, there are rules, but the rules, you can break them. Once you know them, you can break them. And all these things that in an environment with other creatives, you know, if it's a course or a workshop, if you are in this bubble with these people learning together, you learn so much more. You take so much more away from it.
Thank you so much, Alicia. Yeah.
It was a big milestone in my life doing this course.
Fantastic. Now, Alicia, if there's anybody here tuning in who's like, I want to see Alicia's work, I want to connect with her, where can people find you?
So you can find me mostly on my Instagram page, which I use more or less as a portfolio of my work with some musings in between as well. But that's Twins in My Kitchen. And I have a website, which is aliciazieronski.com. I am not on TikTok. I'm not on Twitter. And I'm really not much on Facebook anymore. But you can eat everything you need to know, you will find either on my website.
Amazing. So what I'll do, as always, I'll pop your links into the show notes. If anybody wants to come and have a peek at your beautiful work, they just need to head to the show notes and can find you there. And then before I ask the very final question, Alicia, what is next for you? What is 2024 looking like? What can we expect from you? Anything fun or exciting on the horizon? You talked about Luca's second book. I don't know if it's already come out or if it's on the verge of coming out. And anything else exciting that you've got in the pipeline?
So Luca's book should be coming out any minute.
Mm-hmm.
But what's in the pipeline is my own cookbook, which I have been working on. I'm collecting recipes. You know, doing your own cookbook is a whole different story than doing other people's cookbooks. It's much more, it's like doing your own house, redecorating your own house or decorating other people's house. It's different. It's more, you know, it's more emotional, a little longer. But that hopefully should be coming, hopefully by the end of this year. I would love to do more editorial work. I've got some in the pipeline coming, some magazine work, which is always really exciting and, you know, creative and beautiful. And I think that's it. I think
it's pretty good.
Other than that, we are, yeah, just soldiering on forwards. But who's going to come and want to me to do beautiful images for them?
Alicia, I always end the podcast by asking guests what their most favorite thing to eat, what their most favorite thing to capture, and what their most favorite thing to share is. So I'd love to hear your answers to those questions.
To eat, I would say anything just full of, it has to have full of flavor, full of spice, and full of veggies, then it can be anything.
No, I'm not going to let you get away with it. You have to say something specific.
Be like a flavor bomb, then I love that. I love eating that.
So give us like an example, because your flavor bomb could be different to my flavor bomb. Like, is there anything that jumps to mind? Anything that, like, a specific thing that you recently had maybe, or you recently cooked where you're like, yes.
No, I love Thai food. Mm-hmm. I love, but I also equally love preparing for myself. Like, I do call them Buddha bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a bowl full of, I put like sauerkraut or kimchi in it, avocado, seeds, this veggie, that veggie. I love eggs. I put an egg fried or cooked, or some tofu or some shredded chicken. And then I usually put a whole chopped Thai chili on top of everything.
Oh my God. Amazing. Amazing.
Beet tooth. So anything savory, lots of flavor, I really love. I don't like cake. I don't need it. I don't like eating it much. I don't like baking it much, but I do if I have to. Yeah. And I do appreciate beautiful cakes looking at them, but I just don't have a sweet tooth.
Nice. Your most favorite thing to capture.
Oh, capture. Okay. So I think, I guess, like really vibrant flat lays. I love dynamic, vibrant flat lays. And I also love photographing produce close-ups. And my girls. I love photographing my beautiful girls.
Yeah, they are beautiful. My God. They are just so adorable. I cannot cope. I cannot cope. They're too cute. They're too cute.
Now share. So I was thinking, what would I share? I mean, a quote, a poem. I can't think of anything like that. But the one thing that comes to my mind is, I think, like, be nice. Be nice to other people. Be nice to yourself. You know, nice to yourself. Be nice to nature, to animals, and try to. I think as I get older, I feel like life is really not that long. Short. And I always try, and I, when I console my friends, I always say, you know, try to like find joy and try to find joy in every life, every day, joy every day, and just be a nice person.
Yeah, honestly, we need more goodness.
People, yes.
We need more joy and we need more goodness. I think that's a beautiful final message. Alicia, thank you. It's been fun. It's been lovely. And thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your knowledge with our listeners.
Pleasure for having me.
As always, everything and anything mentioned in today's podcast episode can be found in the show notes, including links to Alicia's social channels where you can find her gorgeous, gorgeous work. It's definitely worth checking out. You'll also find a link in the show notes to all the books we mentioned and also, of course, the foundation course that Alicia did. The foundation course has a big chunk in it that focuses on food styling. So if that's an area that you want to plush up, then be sure to check out my foundation course. And generally speaking, I would say maybe out of all the food photography and food styling courses that are out there, mine is more heavily weighted in the creative direction. So if you find that there's just something missing in your food photography, something missing in your color work, something missing in your storytelling, then definitely I would say the foundation course is worth checking out. Do share the episode in your Instagram stories. Tag Alicia. I know that guests absolutely love it when they know that the time they spent sharing their knowledge here in the podcast, if people enjoy it and reshare, I know that Alicia would love it. So please do, and tag me too. I'd love to see it too. Right, that is it. I shall be back same time, same place in about 2 weeks' time with a solo episode. Until then, stay well. Before I leave you, I wanted to say thank you so, so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoy the podcast. I also wanted to let you know that this podcast was brought to you by my Eat, Capture, Share newsletter community, and I'd love for you to join. I will pop the details on how you can join my creative community in the show notes, so do go and check it out. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, it means so much if you can rate, review, and subscribe. All those things will help the podcast to grow and to reach the right audience. And yeah, you'd kind of make my day. All right, see you soon. Take care. Bye.